call the Plan Commission meeting order. It's on Monday, April 27th, and we're meeting at the Alloway Village Hall. First item of business is roll call. Hanson?
Present.
Rob?
Here.
Dart is not here yet. Colada said that he would be a little late. Retzlaff?
Here.
Kornowski?
Here.
Caput, I'm present. Everybody's had a chance to take a look at the agenda. And is there a motion to approve or any modifications that need to be made? Trevor, is there anything that needs to be moved around or added?
I don't believe so.
Okay. And I'll be looking for a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Kornowski, second by Retzlaff. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And the next item on the agenda are the minutes from the last meeting, March 23rd. Everybody's had a chance to take a look at those. And are there any questions or concerns?
I expressed previously in an email that I think we should see somewhere in the minutes that the petitioner asked to be denied if we were not satisfied with his plan. So.
Okay. That could be added to the minutes. Are there any other comments? If not, I'll be looking for a motion to approve with the added statement that Roger had about the petitioner stating that if we did not like the project, that we should deny it rather than asking that it would be tabled.
So moved.
The motion by Petzold, second by Hanson. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Okay. And we're up to announcements.
Just an FYI, a range permit was taken out for the old dialysis on Derby and Webster. I'm not sure when the building will be raised, and we don't have any plans that have come forward for replacement, so just an FYI.
So that's the dilapidated stucco, tan stucco?
Yeah.
Okay, and then I just wanted to announce that Chris Colada did give his resignation after this meeting tonight, but I think, was it after the May meeting or was it after tonight's meeting? Was it the May? Oh, okay, then we'll wait to thank him until the next meeting. Okay, and the next item on the agenda is public appearances. If there's anybody from the public that would like to speak, if you could please approach the podium, give us your name and address.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm a member of the Fox Wisconsin Heritage Parkway. And I just wanted to invite you all to our annual meeting. We'll be having a presentation on remaking the urban waterfront by the author Alex Krieger, who's from the Urban Land Institute, which is a very popular academic book on how to remake the urban waterfront. And we'll be concentrating on the lower Fox from Appleton to Green Bay. So that'll be on May 1st. It's free if you only want to come to the program at 5:30. There is a charge if you want dinner, and then the dinner starts at 4. But at 5:30, at the at High Cliff at the High Cliff Park. So if you want more details, I can send it to you by email. But it's something that's a lot of the urban people are interested in urban planning along the river from Green Bay down to Appleton will be attending. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
That's it. I didn't make 21st. It's not May 1st, May 21st.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. And is there anyone else here that would like to speak under public appearances? Okay. And the next item on the agenda is the approval of the petition from Hillcrest Lumber requesting an amendment to the planned development district for the condominiums across the street. And Dan.
Hi, I'm Dan Doral. I work with Hillcrest. I'm getting most of you know me. First of all, I could apologize that Harry's not here. He's getting over the flu, and he really wanted to come back, but I'm sad he wanted to be in the same car. Anyway, some of it, I'm sure you wouldn't want him here either, but he apologizes for not making it. We've got the letter as far as looking for an amendment for the condos that's across the street. We're looking to make them into a one-story building. We're going to keep everything as identical as we can as far as siding and looking and brick. And the original was approved as two stories, and combination of reasons that the two stories can't have basements in them anymore, and that plan for one reason isn't working anymore because you have to have egress windows and stuff in them, but then also it's dirt people don't want upstairs. They want one story condos. So we got it set up that we could get started, obviously, but we need to go through the amendments. Captain Gabe, as far as the fire trucks and stuff, everything seems to be okay. We've got the preliminary plan. There's a couple things on there as far as the width of driveways that we might have to make a little wider and stuff, but we've gone through the initial, we talked to Craig. We know we need to update the stormwater management in case it's changed a little bit, if it has. So only the original was approved. There was going to be a total of 10 8-unit buildings. Now there'll be actually 9.5. There's obviously two existing ones. There'll be 7 more 8 units, and then there'll be a 4 unit at the end. So there is an additional entrance off of St. Joseph Street as far as a driveway. But as far as the rest of the site, basically everything is the footprint obviously for the different size building, but we're trying to keep everything as close as we can to tie together what was originally approved. Questions that I can
make? Does that make like half as much green space as there was
going
to be?
No, it's not half as much green space. And we're going through all the check. The green space will be real close to what it was. And we talked to the architect on that, and they're trying to get, we have to have that all together for the planning. And he said we'll be well within what the ground space has to be. It's not changing much, if at all. But that's us, they're updating all of that.
Because it's the same amount of condo.
It's actually a half a unit small. I mean, it's the other one, 4 up and
right.
4 down, so the building's got a little wider. So it's actually, it'll be 9.5 buildings instead of 10. So it's actually the last.
But the big buildings themselves have to be much bigger.
They're bigger, yes. The buildings are bigger, but the last building instead of an 8-unit will be a 4-unit. So the buildings got bigger, but there's a half a building smaller. But the green space hasn't changed much. So and we're aware we have to update the stormwater management and clarify the green space and all that stuff, which 30 passes to do. But they said we could come to the planning board without that stuff.
There's an additional driveway that wasn't originally in there?
Yeah, down if you look on the site plan, you should have a copy of that. On the original approval, there was just one entrance off of St. Joseph Street because of the last unit on the end. We couldn't get the driveway to come all the way down there, so there's an additional driveway in that last unit on the very east side. People are coming off of St. Joseph Street. On the original one, there was just one entrance there. In order to get it to work out, there's another entrance down there. You see the site plan?
Yeah, I'm looking at it, but
yeah.
I'm not that familiar with it. Then I can see it quickly.
So what was the reason for...
Okay.
And
this building. Got it.
So the buildings are spaced further apart, correct?
the exact dimensions from the first one, that they should be spaced further apart, but they're taking up more room. You know, the footprint obviously has gotten bigger because they're all on one floor instead of being up and down, so the buildings have scattered. I mean,
so the buildings themselves aren't really larger in volume, they're just larger in footprint.
The square footage of the original buildings, I don't know exactly what it was. They haven't changed much. But you're right, the other was up and down where this is scattered out. So we still have to have, obviously, the parking. You have to have enough room for the parking and the driveways and all that. So that stuff all got stretched out a little bit. But the green space, the service has not changed much on it.
It looks like to me that the original plan had a 65-foot setback to the building face from St. Joseph, and now there's only a 30-foot setback. Is that going to eliminate that whole berm along the side there?
No. No, that berm will stay.
And each unit would have its own trash container, so there isn't a need for a dumpster. Is that correct?
To my knowledge, that would all stay the same as there was. There wouldn't be any dumpster. It would all be just self. Everybody has their own container, correct.
Okay.
And do you have a private trash service, or is it the village that takes care of it?
I guess, honestly, I I'm sorry, where are you now?
I'm looking at the amended PUD from 2008 that was included in our packet, and then I'm just comparing that with the one that submitted for approval now.
The one that goes across St. Joseph Street?
Yep. On the plan, maybe it wasn't constructed for plan, but on the plan, there's a 30-foot building setback line shown, and then it looks like the berm extends beyond that by maybe 4 feet or more. So now if the building's edge is at the 30-foot setback, that means that berm, and then the paved area also comes in even all the way up to the 12-foot utility easement. So
okay, you're talking about to extend that berm down there? The berm that's there obviously is being what's there now.
But it'll need to be eaten into to construct the pavement in the building?
The berm...
Here's a drawing here, Dan. If you have this one.
It's showing
the berm is within the 30-foot setback in that area.
I'm just trying to understand what the impacts to that berm are going to be and whether that's something that the neighbors across the street would be... I don't know if they care, if they were the ones that requested it in the first place or not, but it seems like there would need to be some kind of that berm would get eaten into as part of the work, just based on the setbacks that are shown on the plan. Even the building is 30 feet, but the parking area outside of the garage is only 12 feet.
Yeah, I see what you're looking at then.
And actually, it looks like on this 2008 plan that the berm doesn't even start until after the 12-foot utility easement. The closest edge of the berm to the street is at the 12-foot utility easement line.
Yeah, it would have to be, I guess, off the top of my head, I guess I can't mention that. I don't know what you need to get to extend that through there.
If there's room to shift the buildings to the north a little bit, closer to the middle driveway, get them out of the berm.
Yes, and see that's a possibility because the buildings actually can be made a little smaller. That's already been addressed because we were talking about the size of the driveways. Originally, we thought the main driveway had to be, before I talked to Captain Gabe, we thought the main driveways had to be made wider. So we had talked to the architect about shrinking the buildings up a little bit to make room for that, which that's not an issue now. So that would definitely be a possibility, something like that. We still have to get that through there if there's not enough room to continue that.
Can anybody speak to the rationale for the berms?
Yeah.
Does anybody know why they're there in the first place?
I'm sorry. Do you want to ask why the berms are
there? Yeah, why are the berms there?
it appears that back in 2005, when the CDB was first approved, there was presented either an option A with a sidewalk and street trees, or an option B with a berm and trees. And it appears that the Planning and Zoning Committee and the vote board went with option B, the berm.
So it wasn't necessarily a resident issue?
It possibly could have been, because I know there was some place, and I'm just going off the notes I read. There were some complaints about the building heights being too short.
It looks like there might be a member of the public that could provide some input, if everybody's okay, if we want to hear from them.
Move to open the floor.
Okay, is there a second? Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Yes.
I was at some of those meetings, and it was basically the people who lived on St. Joseph Street were afraid that all those cars that were going to be in there, their headlights were going to be flashing into their front windows. And so they didn't want a sidewalk there because then it would be flat, and they put one of the berms instead of the sidewalk because they were afraid that they would be woken up with cars flashing around the windows of the houses across the street. Whether that's, at the time it said single family houses with driveways would do the same thing, but that was the concern for the residents who come to the meeting over there, much that they didn't want driveway
or lights. Okay. And Becky, could we get your address for the record?
214 7th Street.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Becky? Otherwise, we'll return to the regular order business. Make a motion.
To return to orders.
Okay, is there a second? Okay, seconded by Trustee Dart. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay. Back.
Okay. I'm wondering if Chris, were you on Planning Commission at that time?
Not in 2005.
Okay. Brad, you're the only man that was around.
Yeah.
Which would make sense as far as I understand what they're talking about as far as car lights, so certainly we'll address that. I mean, that's...
The other thing that I was wondering about, and this also made us something that came up back when it was originally brought before the Planning Commission, but several of the buildings and pavement areas are within the floodplain. Is that a permitted building scenario, or I mean, what is the building for store elevation?
Well, that's all governed as far as how high above the floodplain you have to be, and that's you can build houses in floodplain stuff. You have to stay 2 feet above the floodplain and all that, so they're aware of all of that stuff. And obviously, when we get permits, that's all that has to be addressed. That has to be addressed before you get the permit. You have to bring it in and show what height it's got to be. There's all certain restrictions you got to follow. The electrical disconnect's got to be above the ground. Well, there's no basements in there now, so it's common.
Maybe I missed it. Could you explain again, just briefly, why the second driveway was necessary?
The second driveway, in my knowledge, in order to get that last building, to get into that last building, they needed to add that driveway. There wasn't room to come straight through and come around, I guess. They had to add it to get into the garages on the very end.
It's hard to see why they couldn't from the drawing, but it may look different than actually. Okay.
In looking at the driveway widths, there are a couple that are 19 and then the one that's 16. So yeah. Those are increased or what the fire department wants, will you still be able to build a full building on that southern one, or will that end up being cut in half to get those extra width?
No, but the if need be, the buildings can be made smaller a little bit. And, but I talked to Captain Gabe about that, and they have to be 20 feet, so like the 19 foot is probably will work the way it is. As far as having the 16, I don't know, but they've already talked about, like I said, about making the buildings we have to a little bit smaller to make, because we thought that road going the other way had to be made bigger. So the architects are already looking at shrinking that up a little bit if we have to be, but we know it has to be a minimum of 20 feet for any of the, according to Joe, was any of the fire access roads need to be 20 foot width unobstructed. So.
Okay.
That was just addressed today. We're talking about that. So they know they have to get that in there now. So it's still saving them.
Okay. Are there any other questions for Dan?
What kind of pedestrian access to these residences do you have?
Pedestrian accesses would be, there's city sidewalk across here, and then it's would be just the blacktop areas. I don't know if they show any additional sidewalks out to that. I don't. It would be basically what's over there now. I guess we've got the city sidewalk and then just the blacktop area to get to it. There'd be sidewalks out to the blacktop area.
Is the main access drive wide enough for two cars and a pedestrian?
Yeah, because that was all approved on the first one, so it was, it had to be for two cars at that time.
Well, two cars. I'm asking if it's two cars and enough space for a pedestrian to be walking on the pavement.
I don't know if there's any certain dimension that has to be. I know that
well, your civil engineer should be able to inform you of that or not. So, because the criteria is pretty well established.
Yeah.
Sort of,
and that shouldn't have changed from the first PDD. I wouldn't think of whatever the first one had to be. That would have had to have been approved at that time for the correct width, I'm assuming, when it was 24 feet.
Well, I guess the question is, did you consider pedestrian access at that time? Or was it only considered that you would that people would only drive to these buildings?
I guess I can't answer that other than if they originally did, but as far as I don't know if that's
I'm just thinking, some people who live in the village who have kids but they work,
sure.
The couple works, and then maybe the couple's parents happen to move into here and they're gonna take care of the kids coming home from school. And the kids don't really have a good way to get to the residence when they're walking home from school. So, that kind of scenario. Or maybe they have friends who live somewhere else, up St. Joseph or somewhere else in the community that might just want to walk over.
For the fire truck and talking to Captain Gabe, we need a minimum of 20 feet.
Mm-hmm.
This is 24. There should be obviously 24 feet of extra, but is it, does it need to strike for a sidewalk or something? I guess I don't. There definitely should be enough room there for two cars and somebody to walk, but are they going to stay in the middle of the driveway? I guess I don't.
Yeah, the older buildings show some sort of walks around them, but I just don't see any walks planned for the newer buildings.
No, yeah, just the parking area, what the other ones have.
Yeah, it's just, it is a criteria of our community vision. Our comprehensive plan that we provide for pedestrian access. So it's just, I would think it'd be something that you want to include in a PDD, since it's a part of the way we want to be as a community, having that kind of access. So exploring those options more thoroughly is probably appropriate, especially at this point.
Roger, are you asking or suggesting just access into the site, or access into the site and to each of the buildings?
Well, mainly access into the site and to the individual units for pedestrians as well as automobiles. I mean, we've got plenty of space for the cars, but we just want to make sure that you know, there's some place for people to walk also.
Well, it looks like on the newer buildings, they do have the porches and the patios for access into the units that you would come off of the driveway to get in there, but you just aren't showing any sidewalks. But I would assume you're not having people walk across grass.
No, the sidewalks would come off to the
blacktop. Okay. So maybe the blacktop roadway should be striped. Maybe there should be a stripe down the middle and a separate pedestrian.
Seeing if it's wide enough, I guess, for something like that, would kind of define a walking area onto the site would probably take care of it, I guess, as an option.
I think that would be something that I'd want to see, because otherwise, as Roger may have said, someone said, the cars may drive down the middle anyway, and so everybody's going to be, there's going to be contention for that middle space. Everybody's going to want to go there, so.
Yeah, no matter how wide it is,
no matter how wide it is, like you can see some traffic markings.
Striping with kind of dedicated area to drive, at least.
If it is indeed wide enough to provide for pedestrian access as well as two cars side by side. So.
I'm sure there'd be room to do that.
Any other questions?
With the rest of the review, is staff going to go through as far as the plantings that were supposed to be on the berm for the continuation and make a recommendation for what should be planted if a berm is possible? So if I look at the 2005 ordinance, that there's a lot of vegetation that would go on top of that berm that's not constructed yet, and that must have been for screening it or whatever else in 2005. I'm not positive, but
I know there's changes to that as far as like what trees you can't have the ash anymore.
Right.
Stuff, so I know that stuff has to get updated because of changes.
It just looked like a lot of extensive vegetation on that berm in the original plan.
Well, it appears that the big problem is where these paved areas end close to St. Joseph Street. And I would think that dense landscape screening around the ends of those would resolve the light penetration problems that previous residents have been concerned with, if, in fact, you can't get a berm in there. So that certainly would be something you need to look at.
And there would not be any additional lighting other than building lighting? There would not be any poles?
No, that would be the same as what was originally approved, which there was no pole there now, so that wouldn't change.
Questions?
Sorry I was late, but I guess one question. Was there any discussion about bicycle parking somewhere in this facility? For all the new, and it's great to have the parking for the cars, but if there'd be some sort of bicycle accommodation for residents that may live here, not everybody's got a car, so.
Would that go back to the original PDD? I mean, I don't think there was anything required then that not residents aren't going to keep in their garage, you don't think? Is that, I mean, obviously give them an apartment and you've got bikes all over, but there wasn't anything on the original one, and it's not to say that it can't be done, but are people going to want bike racks out in front of the condos?
And I wasn't saying every, I'm saying maybe one spot in one facility. Just something to consider. It's a discussion we have for other developments.
You have paved guest parking. So.
Yeah, it's simple enough to do. As long as we don't get opposition of we don't want that by the looks of it or whatever, I guess. I don't know if it wasn't with the original committee or something that, you know, that just to get a check with the residents and see what they prefer. How does that...
No, it's no worse than having a junky car parked in one of the guest spots.
But see, where I struggle with that, I appreciate the 2005 to now, but even I came on the Planning Commission in 2007, some of the things that we looked at in 2007 and since is not what they did in the past. So
sure.
I appreciate the past, but that doesn't mean we're stuck to the past. Mm-hmm. In some ways we are. I mean, we're not changing everything here,
yeah.
But it's a conversation we have for all our developments.
We certainly wouldn't be opposed to putting, some bike racks.
Is this facility specifically designed for older adults?
No.
So families could live in this?
Correct.
So what, do you plan any sort of play yard or something for the kids who live on the property?
No, there was nothing designed for that originally, and I'm sure that...
Mm-hmm. Will there be restrictions against that in the condominium
documents? I don't know the condominium bylaws, I guess, as far as that. There was nothing, to my knowledge, talked about doing anything like that as far as having room or... You're talking about putting in like swing sets and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. They're two bedroom units, but that's certainly not to say that there's not any kids there. The ones in the original buildings, I guess the ones that are there that I've seen are, it's pretty much teenagers and up. I guess I haven't seen that. But there's only two buildings there, and obviously that could change. But
yeah,
I've seen a lot of little kids at home. But
we don't know, though. So
no, exactly.
We could have,
sure.
You know. A young family there. It'd be nice to have some little play area for small children. I mean, there is a school with a playground and a park not too far away for the Webster School.
Mm-hmm.
So for the older children, that's not an issue, but I'm just thinking for young families, it might be nice to have a little play yard. You've got mm-hmm. enough space to do that. It wouldn't detract from your landscaping.
Do you think that would be any kind of life?
Yeah,
that's
a good point. See
something like that, if there's
there'd be a liability of some kind, I guess that could definitely change.
I think it depends what you're talking about, swing set versus a sandbox or something. Yeah, how crazy do you get, right?
Or at least, you know, just a little area with benches where people could sit outdoors.
Sure.
You don't seem to have any of that designed into any of the buildings.
No, and I don't, there wasn't an original, I don't think, but again, it's not to say it can't be changed, but there certainly could be, and just enough room to do that, some physics or some tables or whatever, and areas that they can play, but when you get into the swing sets and stuff, you might have liability.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
So, just for clarification, up in the parking lot.
Oh, he's pointing out and trying to see what is he
looking for deer?
Which is, yeah, that's close by.
Do you, Roger, do you still feel there should be like a central gathering area, just something with tables?
Well, just a little area somewhere outdoors where people could sit, you know, and little kids could. I'm thinking of, you know, 2-year-olds and the like, not grade school kids. So.
Is that something you can explore?
Sure.
Okay. Is there one main mailbox area that it could be near a mailbox area? Or?
It's cluster boxes, so it's be more than one. That's kind of dictated from the post office. I think exactly where those guys are. So, yeah, might have to be in more than one area. But, like you say, just a small area for tables and chairs or whatever to plan that kind of thing would be. I'm sure that would be easy enough to do it as long as it's not liability stuff.
I agree that I think it would be a good idea. I mean, there are park areas nearby, but, you know, a family with a two-year-old, a couple of, you know, children, and I think they're not going to get the kids and think of someone else. They want to just be able to go outside. Yeah.
Especially if it might be a grandparent who's got their grandchildren over for the weekend or something.
You just want to be able to sit outside.
Yeah.
And the two-year-old could jump in.
Well, that's there you go.
I'd have a fence around it.
I think it would be a nice amenity to have some place to sit. Because, it doesn't have to be anything fancy, but I think it would be simple enough, and I think it would add something to the apartments, because if you just want to go outside and go for a little walk and sit for a minute,
where the bike racks are, probably incorporate something all in the same area.
Yeah, condo document, and we haven't been privy to the condo docs, but they often restrict you things like you can't put your own plantings out in front of your unit, you know. It can only be, you know, the corporate plantings, you know. There's a lot of restrictions that potentially that we aren't aware of. And so,
should there be room like where we did something with a bike rack that's a few benches in some areas that they could, you know, sit and watch the kids run around?
Are there any other comments? Otherwise, I'll go through what I have for my list so far and see what I'm missing. We would like to see the driveway to be striped and then with the crosswalk denoted. Are you thinking that the crosswalk should be a separate striped area or hatched area on the driveway? Is that what we were thinking, or just putting the stripe down the middle was adequate?
Well, a marked pedestrian walkway of some sort.
Okay. A bike rack, the addition of a bike rack. There was concern about the berm being reduced to accommodate the new buildings and the parking, but you'll check to see if that can be shifted. Additional screening and landscaping at the berm to screen the property to the south from headlights has been discussed. And then adding a central gathering area with tables and chairs. Is there anything else that I'm missing that we have discussed? Okay. So if we are thinking that we would like to recommend this to the village board, we would also want to add a condition that any of the staff's concerns would be addressed. Okay. Anybody ready for a motion on that, or do we need to discuss anything further?
I'll make a motion for what you just said.
Okay. We have a motion, and is there a second? Okay. Trustee Dart. And any further discussion or anything else that needs to be added?
And just to clarify, the crosswalk, not so much a crosswalk, but like what Roger said, that it would be alongside
the space for the sidewalk.
A pedestrian walkway.
Pedestrian
walkway. Next to one of the lanes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have that? Okay. Okay, we've had the motion and a second, and any further discussion? Otherwise, all those, and this would be a motion to recommend this to the village board for approval with those conditions that I had stated. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Should be addressed. That was part of it, too. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
So then I guess the next step of action would be to do a public notice for a public hearing on the board potential take action on this area.
Okay.
And through our public notices, I believe we mailed directly to the board.
And that hearing would occur at the village board meeting.
And as this is an amendment to an original PDD, this isn't a preliminary final, this is just a final. And that's it then. Okay. Okay. Next on the agenda is the discussion of the bicycle and pedestrian plan. With the county, and this is what they sent you?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, they sent me the ideas and I kind of put it in as a flowchart just so it's easier to get my point across. And this was just kind of suggested months put in there as well. Cole Grumby from Brown County kind of said the committee part of it should probably take about 8 months for it to get in the service. And then, so it was kind of June to February, that's about 8 months. And then it would go to the Plan Commission, Parks Committee, and then the Public Safety, or Public Works, I'm sorry, kind of be reviewed there and go to the Village Board. But Cole Grumby thought that that ad hoc committee would be appropriate someone to address this issue separately. Other communities have done that and have worked successfully with that.
And there's some suggestions on who would make up the committee.
Correct. And it was also suggested that the committee kind of be varied by average bike users and then those who might not use bikes every day as well. And then those at varied levels as well. Those who bike all the time and those who might have trouble biking but still like to bike because and make sure that all users are accommodated.
And what about people who walk?
Those two.
That's a little more difficult.
Most of us walk, walking.
Well, yeah, I think there's a difference between walking for transportation, walking recreationally, and walking to get from where you are to your car and from your car to where you're going.
And also different perspectives if somebody has a visual impairment or a wheelchair or a transit user. I mean, those are different, not your traditional run-of-the-mill committee members that you'd think
of. It would be really good to have some people with personal knowledge of barrier-free access.
I looked at the list and I thought, and it's supposed to be 10 to 12 people, but they name an awful lot of variety. I tried counting them up and I guess you could do it, but...
Well,
you
I'm just I'm also thinking like the CP Center. I know we've dealt years ago. They had concerns with how do you get people with the motorized scooters around and what side of the road should they be on? And they were asking the right questions. I don't think we answered any other questions. The other thoughts would be either a bike club member or somebody from the Economic Development Committee, because you're going to need money to fund this stuff eventually.
Once that committee gets established, how does it move forward? Is there like a blueprint of what you do and how you go about it? Or do people just, someone just knows that and you look at that? I guess I'm thinking I wouldn't know exactly where to start if I was on the committee.
Staff would work with Grub County and you could primarily be in-house staff, but directly the committee board.
So you know what to, how to start.
Yes. And Cole said he was willing to help out in the way he can.
I would think a community survey would be part of this. I've read a number of different plans, like TED plans, and have participated in a couple. And we've always used surveys to get general feelings from a wide variety of people. So, and there's quite a body of information out there on how to construct a bike ped survey. So.
I took a look at the second page of the memo with the flow chart, and you know, there's some items in here like engineer plans. How intensive is this going to be? Is there going to be engineering drawings included? Because I'm just wondering, because that can be costly, you know, as far as in the beginning.
It's not going to be too specific.
Okay.
But, when looking at some of the suggestions that the community would recommend, I think it would be helpful that we keep those engineering thoughts in mind, so that whatever the recommendations are, the plan is achievable.
Well, Craig's concern, and he's really the guy that brought this up from DP, or Public Works, was that so that he has a good idea of where the community wants facilities built. So as he does plans road work, he can incorporate that as design criteria into those plans. And so I think that's really a valid goal for the, you know, this exercise. And I brought up an issue regarding the form of our community where we don't have sidewalks and people are expected to walk in the street, but there isn't any real law that in the state that permits them to be there that kind of protects them. And so I've been advocating for a shared streets, some sort of shared streets ordinance which protects pedestrians using the street for transportation and recreation. So I think we should seriously look at what we can do in that way. So.
I know that's on attorney's desk. Because I sent it to him. You brought that up. Sorry.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. And then there's also the recreational component. Our parks department will want to know how people want to use the parks, you know, in this aspect, or if there's anything new. Or
I think to build to what Roger's saying, the other thing, the Brown County Parks Department used to have trail counts on the Fox River Trail, so that would be helpful to look at where people coming and going in the community. Are they trips in Alloway? Are they coming from other places? Just to give you a rough number who's using it. And it might be good to take some counts on the East River Trail also. Yeah, yes. And I think sometimes when we're looking at our bicycle pedestrian system, we don't always think of the Fox River Trail or the East River Trail and all the use that that gets. And how do people get there and where are they coming from? So.
Well, and there's a life safety component to that too, because what we may be finding is that in these high use area conditions, that Fox River Trail may be underbuilt. It may need to expand in some way. for these really nice days. So, because you put, as we realized with the East River Trail, we need to rebuild that, correct? And to make it safer for people using it. You know, there may be issues on the Fox River Trail that we should somehow try to identify, you know, through this plan. So, certainly access issues are a concern.
I think the one other key part with the existing conditions and chapters, we have to keep reaching out to other communities. Like, we did a good job on our Hoffman Road. Brown County did a nice job. But so what? What do you do to the piece into Bellevue? How does that connect? So it's kind of, we have to remember looking at DePere and all our other neighbors and say, yeah, we're doing some good things in Alloway, but how does it turn into a greater community for pedestrians and bicyclists?
Could I move to open the floor and invite Becky to comment?
Sure. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay. You are invited to speak, Becky, if you'd like to speak.
If you'd like.
Well, because
if you'd like.
You're leading the Alloway Walks and Bikes group, so if you just have any comments about our approach. So.
I'm very excited about the fact that there's a safety plan that this group is being put together as part of the village, because since 2004 I've been working with the health department, and I had a larger grant that kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and by July 1st it's gone. And I'm going to be still working full-time in the health department in a different job. And so any support that I gave to Alloway Walks and Bikes is that came through the health department, like being able to use their computers and take notes and send out emails. That's basically what I did. That's gone after July 1st. And so I'm really excited that the community is taking this as important and bringing it in the community. Because I, in that time, I've worked with probably six different communities, and the other five have already all taken them on. At Eshwabin has their own bicycle and pedestrian committee, Bellevue did a plan, and Howard does things, and Green Bay is doing things, and so Elwood is kind of the last one that I'm now trying to push it to become institutionalized in what we're doing. And things like when talking with this condo development, how do people get from there to the sidewalk on the front, that's important, and the school of that. So, I'm excited that it happened at this time because I wasn't sure what I was going to do after July 1st. And I live here, and that's kind of why it lasted this long, is because I live in the community. And so I've kept my support for this group the longest. And so I'm willing as a volunteer outside of my work to continue with the group and be part of helping with the plan. But that was, very good to see that what we've been, kind of pushing for and becoming institutionalized and becoming part of the development of the community. So, anybody, any questions?
Okay. Well, and then Alloway Walks and Bikes has petitioned in some way the village board to designate it as an official group of the village?
Yeah, we gave a letter to Debbie and we gave Brad and Brenda, conditioning that possibly doing the group working on the bicycle and pedestrian plan may be ad hoc at that point, but when it's done, putting that into a standing bicycle and pedestrian committee of the village. See if we can see that would be very good.
And would you be willing to serve on this ad hoc?
Yes, I'm willing to serve on the committee and help keep things going.
Okay, thank you.
That letter was read at the village board last week, and it is on the village board's agenda next Tuesday to be discussed further.
Jim Moore, 2339 Allwood Avenue. Committees are all well and good, but what's going on immediately right now that's imperative that we address is State Highway 57 Riverside Drive, and the state is obligated to give us 3/4 of a mile of sidewalk on the west side from Highway 172 up to Stambaugh, and it's not in their plans right now. And if the state doesn't do it, and after this survey is done, it's determined that there really should be a sidewalk there, that's going to fall on the burden of the Nellway taxpayers instead of on the state. So, you know, this is something that is in the planning stages right now and should be addressed, and I'd rather have the state pay for the cost of putting in the sidewalk on the west side of Riverside Drive from 172 to Stambaugh than having the village taxpayers do it. Thanks.
Move to return to orders.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Brad or Trevor, do you know where the state is on the design of Riverside? Have we seen anything come through on it? Do we know if there's sidewalks? Where's Jim or is there maybe it isn't?
Adding sidewalk to the west side and some segments as well. Was at the last board meeting that the board made a motion to send a letter to the DOT that, to continue it to keep sidewalks in all pedestrian facilities, biking and pedestrian facilities, in the planning process for Riverside Drive, with the caveat that the village couldn't pull out of those pending funding. So, I did get an electronic copy of what the proposed plan was, I think, in 2012. I think you asked for that, Jim. I just got it today, so I'm going to send that off to you. So, if anyone else would like that, I can email it to you. It's, I think there are just three documents in there that show what the pedestrian or the sidewalk would be, the bike lane or bike road. I can send that out to everybody. I just got it today.
I guess, Brad, a letter is fine, but sometimes, like, taking pictures of the goat paths and the different things out there and the lack of facilities means more, because otherwise, a lot of times, I know DOT is just looking at the funding and not necessarily the need. So letters are fine, but they get lots of letters from all over the place.
If the letter was actually a request from them asking if we would submit something to the DOT stating what our intents are,
okay,
if we want them to continue looking at the bike facility as well as sidewalks, or scrap everything and just concentrate on the road, but the board decided that, you know, they wanted to continue the bike and pen aspects of it as well.
So our next step is to come up with a committee or come up with some goals or outline.
Or do we recommend that the board do something about this?
Yeah, that was kind of the error on my part. I basically asked a discussion and then I'm sure that I actually did. So
when we take this to the board next week, because it's next week already, that the board will be meeting, and they'll be talking about the formation of pretty much a continuation of the Family Walks and Bikes group as forming a committee that could be part of the discussion, and then keep working forward and try to lay out a plan.
Just so we keep it moving to kind of stay on this outline, the schedule that we have here, that they'd start meeting in June, as long as that would still be a possibility.
Brad, do we have to keep those two issues separate? As Becky suggested, yes, there's an ad hoc committee, but to continue it. So do we form the ad hoc committee first, or do we form the Alloy Bikes and Walks as part of a standing committee?
I think typically what you find is if you start with an ad hoc committee that helps formulate what you're
absolutely looking
for, and then you can create your committee based on those that have shown the interest.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can continue working on future issues.
Right.
But when it goes to the board, is it going as an ad hoc first? I mean, if we don't have this to say this is what plan commission does, because we can't make a motion to change that, but they're working on the other standing committee, are we in the wrong order?
Well, this, can I interject? The standing committee was a request from an existing ad hoc committee. Okay? So that's kind of went around us, which is fine. You know, there's already this group that's been meeting for several years that has already produced a plan, a Safe Routes to School plan for the community. So they're asking for official recognition as a bicycle and pedestrian advisory committee.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So the board is addressing that separately. I think if we were going to do anything, right now we have discussion, we can't really take action, but maybe we can say something at this point, you know, that we would like the board to give us the encouragement to proceed with an updated and standalone bicycle and pedestrian plan for the community.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
One other question, will the bicycle plan also include parking? I mean, it's always easier to look at sidewalks and where should bikes go, but if they don't have a place to go, or is that something that maybe the economic development or other committees could address in the future?
I think it would be appropriate to include something with bicycle parking, or even, you know, how to arrange automobile parking as well, like how many pedestrians and bicycles. Looking at our ordinances, we don't have anything really that calls for a number of parking rules for new development and of that nature. And I think it would be appropriate to include something that some sort of recommendation from the plan, especially now that we're looking at doing a recodification.
Mm-hmm. And it would also include perhaps signage, you know, bicycle route designation. Mm-hmm. Wayfinding, so showing guiding signs that would say you can get to the Fox River Trail down this route, for example, where we need additional crossings to access bike facilities. So all kinds of things can be part of this plan.
Is there anything else anybody would like to add on that?
Just to clarify for my sake, we're discussing what role the Plan Commission wishes to take in the administration of this project, this plan, and we've come to the decision that we'd like the village board to put together an ad hoc group committee. Is that, am I understanding correctly? And that we would have a member or two on that ad hoc committee. Yeah. But it's not our task. We're not being tasked with forming the ad hoc committee. Am I correct in that?
That's my understanding, correct?
Yep. That's correct.
Yeah. We're suggesting which way we think would be best going forward to create it. This committee, when you look at the items to be included in the plan, there's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
There is.
This committee for being ad hoc and, and representative, you know, the community with senior citizens and area schools and so on and so forth. I mean, they're going to be tasked with producing something that will take time and effort and resources. And when you look at the flowchart, I mean, data collection, okay, so who knows what that is. You know, you get 12 people sitting in the room, okay, we're supposed to collect data. You know, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but I think there's a risk that we won't have, that not a risk, there's a challenge to produce a good result. And we're asking that the board consider the fact that it's a serious, it's an issue that will take some effort on the part of members who are selected for the committee. That's my observation.
Howard, I think that's a great observation. I know we're the recommender, but if we're not even setting a baseline or what is our expectation, the board could go in a totally different direction. If we haven't measured or defined what a successful bicycle pedestrian looks like, something the village engineer can use, or something that incorporates different viewpoints into making Alloway a destination for, I don't know, year-round bicycle pedestrian traffic. So, yes, it's probably we're leaving the can, Pandora's box is open, and we might not like what we get on the other side.
The members of this ad hoc committee have never done one before.
Right.
And don't know what the result's supposed to look like.
But we do have full-time staff who can do some research and guide the process, moderate the process.
All I'm suggesting is that in the formation of the committee, the members that are chosen need to understand that they have the support of the staff, and the staff needs to know that they need the support so that the best product gets produced.
But if it's a good bicycle pedestrian plan, there should be a committee member expectation. They should know what they're doing, what they're not doing, exactly. That they're advisory, and sometimes I would like to put that up on the wall and remind people that you're just advising things for participating.
Yeah. So it needs strong leadership. Someone has to be a strong leader of that group, and that should be something that's in the recommendation to the board, and I'm sure they know that. But it's okay for us to voice an opinion, even if it's just my opinion. You can, you know, I think it's important that we do it right.
It's not a simple task.
That's kind of the short answer.
But it sounds like the county would be available to assist us too. So I'm assuming they've gone through this process before, so they know what's needed.
Right, but the county hasn't typically done some of the more incremental things that a municipality would do. For instance, Green Bay did a downtown bicycle plan. And they conducted bicycle counts on two separate occasions. They did an initial bicycle count at a number of locations in the downtown area. And then they followed up a year later after the plan had been implemented, that the roads had been striped and everything, to do a verification count to see if there was an increase in use. So that is another element that we could consider. But that... the idea behind an ad hoc group or a designated or a formalized committee, you know, that the board would designate is that there would be a body of people who have this as their number one concern. Like we have various concerns, PDDs and site plans and zoning and, you know, a lot of things. So we can kind of oversee the process, you know, and look at it with respect to the other documents that we rely on. Planning documents we rely on, the comp plan and other plan elements, but there should be a group that's, you know, has more of a day-to-day concern in developing a plan and figuring out what's important in the community, contacting other people, drawing people together. And again, that we would want that monitored by our staff person. So that there is consistency and there is communication that's being maintained. So.
And would you be able to contact the city then if they're more localized and know more about what a municipality needs, more so than the county? Would you have a contact at the city level that you could work with to give us some recommendations on which way to go with this?
I do know if you hire the city of Green Bay, reach out to them to find out. I was talking with Brad. I don't know if maybe the committee wants to, or the county commission wants this as an action item. Should have formal recommendations to the board next month. And then I can provide that information to you at that time as well. potentially have village board take action on it first week of June.
Yeah, I would think we'd want to do exactly as you said, mainly because there are plenty of reference materials out there. The Alliance for Biking and Walking has lots of reference materials, and the American Planning Association also has lots of reference materials. If we're going to take this approach, we should probably have membership in both organizations so we can have access to the best reference materials in constructing this plan. So.
I think along the same lines, it's like that group, that ad hoc group. But I think this has been said maybe in a different way. What resources are available for them to use to accomplish this? What do we want done and what resources do we have?
Is that something that we would want to have available to discuss at the next meeting when we make a recommendation to know what is available out there, resources? Could you look into that, Trevor, to find out what type of resources are available?
Well, I'm thinking, too, that we have to have some kind of financial resources or a certain amount of money put aside to do what we need to do. We should know that.
Well, like access to transit, they have typically, they do a boarding and lighting survey. Who's getting off at what stops in Alloway? I mean, so yeah, there's all kinds of resources that could be identified.
I can look into that and bring that to you.
Okay, so we'll put that on the agenda for the next meeting.
Yeah, and just one more comment. I think it's a great thing that Village is going through with this. Just gotta be careful with the scope creep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the outline is really good, but it's starting to turn into more like an RFP, good for a consultant to go out and do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do it with an ad hoc committee. So if we can be really tight in defining what the objectives are, you know, the gathering the data, what data, by when, what's the measurable objective, if anything's actually getting done. Sorry to put that on you.
But just as the Green Bay downtown plan was done with one planner from their city planning organization and a group of probably 20 volunteers off and on. So
it's doable.
So it's doable.
Was that about like a year-long process for them also then?
It was a little more than that. Actually, they had about a year to 2 years of ramp up, and then a one-year process of developing the plan and implementing it and doing a follow-up study.
Anything else on this one? We'll move on to the next item on the agenda, the update on the corridor study.
So we were supposed to have the Planning Commission Village Board joint meeting tonight, but because with Greg presenting where they're at in the plan for the corridor study, but because the DOT didn't have their final, or not final, but Greg needed some information from the DOT that the DOT didn't have, and they will have. So that's why Grave asked that they could reschedule the meeting. I checked with them. May 18th does look like an appropriate, or it does work. Regular scheduled meeting for the Planning Commission is May 25th, which is Memorial Day. May 18th is the Monday prior. So that works with the Planning Commission, and I would recommend that to the Village Board, and we could go forward with that.
Which takes us to the next item, which is the next meeting date. That's the May 18th, the Monday. Does that work for everybody, the Monday before Memorial Day?
Mm-hmm.
At least enough for a quorum? Okay. We'll go for the May 18th. And then the agenda items will include an action for the bike and ped plan, so we can give the Village Board some direction on that. And the presentation by Grace. Grace? Okay.
There will also be the election next month, a new chair and vice chair.
Nothing else for next month that we know of right now?
No, I can only that.
Okay. What happened with the Quick Trip? Did that go to the village board for preliminary? It does, okay.
It has not gone to the village board at this time. It will be scheduled for May 19th. On May 5th, the diocese has asked you to do a presentation to the board as a presentation, so no discussion, no action that particular night. This presentation on what we have, and then it will come to the village board on the 19th.
The presentation is about the Quick Trip project?
It will be a part of it will be about the Quick Trip project.
Okay.
So that presentation is the diocese promoting the project to the village board. So if we have to, if the members of this group have concerns, we need to appear before the village board the following night and express those concerns, since we do not have another opportunity to do so.
Yeah, your next opportunity then would be May 19th at the village board meeting.
Okay, anything else anybody have? And I guess I'll be looking for a motion to adjourn.
So, Penny got
Trustee Dart, and second by?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, carried. Thank you.